Hi everyone, welcome to Vanderpump Rules Party Podcast. I'm Sarah C, and I am solo today, here to give you some updates on Ariana and something about her, and then get into the Summer House recap from the last episode of Summer House. Normally, I do the Summer House recaps on Patreon, but this week, just putting it out here so you all know we're covering it, and normally you can find it on Patreon. Also on Patreon, I'm going to post some videos, or Holly's going to post some videos of Ariana from her event yesterday at the LA Times Festival of Books. Shout out to Kimberly for getting us some great videos and footage, and we have several of them, so we will post those videos of Ariana and her interview on stage. It's pretty interesting, pretty fun. I'm going to talk about the highlights right now for a few minutes. I'm going to play one video that's not too long, that's a little under a minute, but there's some that are 5 minutes or 2 minutes. So we'll put those in Patreon. So if you're not in Patreon, go over to patreon.com/VanderpumpRulesParty. I believe the link is also in this episode, in our podcast episode notes. And it's only $3, so try it out for a month. It's $3. You get a lot of content for that. We have videos, photos, extra episodes, bonus episodes, secret episodes, where we share a little bit more and feel comfortable spilling a little bit more of either knowledge we have or opinions we have. So it's a fun place. All right, so let's get into Ariana. She has said that something about her is dangerously close to opening. I've been hearing a lot of buzz about this. I heard Katie say that they are currently training staff, so that would, of course, indicate they are preparing to open soon. I believe Andy said he knows the date, and I even heard Sandoval say he knows the date. And he was joking around. He's like, yeah, maybe I'm going to put like a hat and a hoodie and glasses and go in there in disguise and incognito and get a sandwich, dude, in like July. So he said July. I think it'll open before that. But, you know, he dropped a little Easter egg. So if they're training now, you know, May or June, we'll see. So I cannot wait. I want that Greek sandwich. And Holly and I will go up and probably try everything on the menu and let you know. So the Uber Eats thing, the ghost kitchen, that's just false. That was a rumor. That was never a thing. So we'll see. I hope it's true. I mean, I can't imagine like Katie or Ariana would be lying, obviously. They're not going to lie about something like this. As we reported on the last podcast, which was on Patreon, but we also hinted to you guys last month on Instagram on March 22nd, we let you know that there were some issues between Katie and Ariana and Chef Penny, that being Chef Penny and her husband own the trademark to something about her, not Katie and Ariana, and there was some power struggle over that. That was what was causing the latest delay. They have their permits, they're good. That was the latest delay. And it looks like they have now sorted things out with Penny and they have parted ways. So Penny is no longer involved in something about her. And now it looks like they're gearing up to open. So fingers crossed. I think they reveal the opening date at the reunion. Because like I said, remember on a Watch What Happens Live, it was Katie or Ariana and they kind of, we're talking about Andy, and he's like, yeah, I know the date, but, or they said, we'll tell you at the reunion. So I'm pretty sure that that's what the reveal was, that, you know, we'll find out in the next couple weeks. Well, 13, 14, and 15, we have three more regular episodes, and then, so in 4 weeks, we'll have reunion part one, and maybe they'll reveal it on that one. Anyways, it should be coming soon. So also here at the LA Times Festival of Books, the first day James and Allie performed, we posted that video on our Instagram, Vanderpump Rules Party, go check that out. And Sunday, Ariana went on stage. She talked. She was interviewed for like a half an hour, and then she signed books. The line was very long, so a lot of people showed up for her. So that's nice. But she was asked a lot of questions. So I'll kind of highlight some of the questions asked. And then, like I said, we'll put the videos in Patreon and pictures. So she said, okay, this is the video I'm going to play. But she said she was prepared for a redemption arc for Sandoval because that's how reality TV works. That's really the formula. But she said, well, production is really trying hard to give him a redemption arc. He is making it very hard. He is not contributing to that goal at all, which is so accurate. So let's play that video of that statement.
Doing this season that felt very different than what I'm watching, just in terms of like the relationships. I was like, we're the Spice Girls. And then it's like, no. I think something that is important for that I know that is part of any reality show is they always want that conversation. They never want it to be one. They don't want the audience to be on one side or the other. So they will always try and even the playing field. Yeah. They've always done that. They always will. So I knew going into it that they were going to do everything they could to even the playing field. Mm-hmm. It's hard. You know, they're trying really hard to give someone a redemption season. And he's just not participating in it.
Failing.
Okay, that was funny. He's just not participating in that plan. Oh, Sandoval, you could have made it so much easier on yourself. Okay, so some of the other things she said. Well, you heard at the beginning of this video, she said, yeah, I thought we were the Spice Girls, but no. So what that was in reference to was that she thought this season filming went very differently what she thought during filming with the girls, but now watching it back, she realizes not so much. She said, I thought we were like the Spice Girls, but no. So I know Sheena said Ariana didn't watch this season, but I think they made her watch it for the reunion. I don't know, because now she's saying she did watch it and she's seeing all the different things, you know what I mean? Like all the things said behind her back in conversations or in confessionals. And she's realizing, oh, wow, these girls really didn't have my back, or they're saying things about me that I didn't know that's where they stood. So that is interesting because that is going to affect her coming back, because what she says about coming back for another season is that it would have to make sense. And in order for it to make sense, it'd have to be real and authentic for her to agree to come back. And I don't know if that's possible right now. Like, she's not involved with the Toms. She's on the outs with Sheena and Lala. So that leaves Katie and then James and Ali. And we can't really have this kind of fragmented show where it's like, okay, James and Ellie and Ariana will film over here. The Toms will film over there. Sheena and Lala will film over there. That's like three different, I don't know, this is supposed to be a group dynamic and it's very fragmented right now. So I think there's a good chance that she declines coming back for season 12. I certainly hope that's not the case, because especially with something about her opening, you know, right as filming starts, you know, there's content there. There's the struggles of opening a new business, the management and staff at something about her. Maybe they can focus a little bit of that and the growing pains. So I hope that there is another season for her and obviously for the show in general, you know, because I don't think we're totally done here with Ariana, although if she has bigger and better things to go do them, you know? Hopefully they'll be consistently offered opportunities for her. I would worry. She said she worries a lot about, like, you know, something's going to end and she won't have enough to survive. Like, I get that. I live in fear of that. So in that case, it's like, oh, maybe stay on Vanderpump. You've got that like security, that stable paycheck, and then do these other things as they work into your schedule. But at the same time, if it's just, we don't want to see a fragmented show, and that's where it becomes fake and produced and manufactured, and that will, we don't want to end on a bad note. So hopefully they can all figure it out. We'll see. So regarding her house, she had her friend Logan Cochran, he works at TomTom, go look at some houses for her. And so he looked at the one that she bought. She had never even seen it until she came out to sign escrow papers. She said she came out for the reunion. She stayed with Katie and then walked across the street from Katie's apartment complex to Starbucks, where she signed her escrow papers on the house at Starbucks. So, thought that was fun and relatable. And then she and Dana went to the house and celebrated a little bit with, like, some rosé or champagne or something. Some of the other things she talked about doing the book herself. It was a little bit to prove to herself she could do it and how strong she was, because previously she had doubts and fears, partly which Sandoval instilled in her. And I can totally see this. Like, we see him all the time going, dude, like, she's gonna have a really hard time trying to figure out how to buy batteries and pens and toilet paper. Like, I did all that. Actually, Anne did it, but she never did it. Pretty sure she's, the girl lived in New York in her car. Pretty sure she's capable of figuring out how to buy toilet paper. But it's those kind of things that he would just needle into her, right? And eventually that builds up. And it's going to affect your self-esteem and, just kind of tear, tears away at you. So good for her for moving past that and getting that negative little Fred Flintstone guy off her shoulder of Sandoval, dude, Ariana, I'm the bartender. Oh, can't. What's also funny, speaking of books, is she said she'd like to make a mocktail book someday, which will really needle Sandoval right back. I just heard him talking about how he's making some mocktails and creating a mocktail line for Schwartz and Sandy. So I think it's going to be really funny if she comes out with a mocktail book. He's like, dude, I was doing that. I'm the one that didn't drink for 6 months. It's like, I was talking about it. She's stealing my idea, dude. Like, I love that. As if, like, he invented mocktails. So, then she was asked if she was prepared for a villain edit, and then she made a joke saying, wait, so you don't think I'm getting the villain edit now? Which, whew, I don't think she is, but I guess technically she probably is, because I'm watching the show and I'm not looking at her as a villain. Also, because I am aware, everyone, that this is filmed. I know everyone is, but sometimes people forget, or sometimes people don't know how production works. This is 3 to 4 months after Scandoval hit, and she had all of these things happen. Like, when's the time to process? When's the time to cry? When's the time to get angry? When you're now thrown into this world where you have like opportunities and you're like working all day, every day, putting out a book, putting out, I mean, all she put out the book by this point, or finished it. It was released later, but when's the time to process your emotions? So if you all see her like move out, why are you so negative? You can't be around him. It's like, when has she had a single day off to cry? I don't think so. And it's a couple months after, it's not a year after. And in fact, you guys all over the internet saying, move on, move out. I've been very vocal about that mentality of like, why is everyone on her case? The house is just as much hers. He's the one that did the wrong. He should be the one to leave. But fine, the case it, like Jax refused to leave the house. Sandoval's re so Brittany got an Airbnb. Sandoval's refusing. Ariana's refusing. I like that she stood up. Like, there's no reason I need to cave if he's not caving. Like, why should she be the one caving? It's ridiculous. But y'all that are still like, move out. It's been a year. She hasn't been there in a year, like all year. Maybe some of her boxes, sure. But you'll have to remember This was filmed in the summer, 3 months after. And after filming wrapped, she went into Dancing with the Stars and she got an Airbnb that was closer to the Dancing with the Stars set because it's such a grueling schedule. It saved her a lot of time. Plus, you want to be able to come home to a stress-free, relaxing environment. So she went into the Airbnb for several months and then straight to New York from January to April. And now here we are. She comes back in April and guess what? She has a new house. So she hasn't been there for a year. So please, everyone stop. Like, move on. It's been a year. Get out of the house. She hasn't even been in the house. But if she wanted to be in the house and never fucking leave her room, it's her right to do so. And as you saw on this last episode, she did accept his offer. He now is backtracking and declining. And he's like, it's because she took so long to respond. It was responded to, it was 1 to 2 months. I don't think interest rates changed that much in 1 to 2 months. What changed is it was probably brought to your attention that you're going to have to like refinance, and then that just fucks up your whole plan. I heard he pays like 17 grand a month, and it would go up. That's a lot. I don't know who pays that kind of rent. Shannon Bedore. She can't pay that anymore. I think she's gotten down to 10. Anyways, that's that. She said filming was so fast this year because of what happened between, you know, the reunion and season 11. They picked up cameras so fast, but it both helped and harmed her. She said in trauma, there is fight or flight, freeze or fawn. She freezes. So she did just, hole up in her room with her stuff, hunkered down, and just kind of froze while trying to process everything. You know, and you can do that for a little bit, but then, you know, she was thrust into all these opportunities, which I think is good because it got her out of the hole, got her out of her room, and made her successful and pushed her beyond what had been her limitations. So, anyways, that's that. We'll post the videos in Patreon of Ariana. And yeah, I don't think anything else has happened since we podcasted yesterday, which is on Patreon. We talked about Joe. We talked about the Toms. We talked about Ariana. Katie, something about her. Oh, Jax and Brittany and Lori K. Our opinions on that, but also our experiences with that and what we witnessed. That is all on Patreon. Check it out. Okay, let's get into Summer House this week. I thought it was a really good episode. This whole season, you know, I usually complain, like, I don't even know why I watch this show. It's just, it's like Groundhog's Day. You know, it's like, they all dress up and have a party. It's like the same episode every week. But this season's different. And I really think, like, Paige and Sierra have read the viewer comments and taken note. And it's not just the viewers. I've heard, you know, Instagram page, I guess as they say, bloggers, but they're not really bloggers. Instagram page accounts, podcasters all say, you know, they're known as the bed girls. They're like, can we just replace them? They don't ever get out of bed. They don't go out. They don't help with cooking or cleaning, or they're just boring bed girls, right? But this season, I think they've listened and they're like, we better get out of bed if we want to keep our jobs. Also, Sierra has like changed her complete attitude. She's like refreshing, fun, light Sierra, like she was when she first started in her first season, and not like negative Nancy Downer Sierra as she has been the last few years. She is refreshing, fun. Paige is fun and witty, but I like that she's actually going out with the group now. My God, this episode we had Amanda go out. Crazy. That never happens. I can't even think of a time when Amanda has gone out, outside of when they go out for a group dinner, but then she goes home and goes into bed and does her number one thing, scrolls on her phone. I will get into that later, because just when I think, like, oh, here you go, Amanda, you're compromising. You're giving Kyle a little bit of what he loves, and he's toning it down because that's what you love. You're meeting in the middle. Yay! And then he climbs into bed, and he's, like, clearly ready because he's, like, buck-ass naked. And there she is, scrolling on her phone. Like, put the phone down. It's 3 a.m. screw your man or go to sleep. You don't need the phone. Enough. Enough! Okay, anyways, I'm jumping ahead. So Paige kind of outs Sierra in the car when they're driving to the Hamptons with West. And he's like, so did Sierra say she missed me last weekend? And Paige is like, yeah, like even the first day. And Sierra was not mad at that. She like actually kind of blushed and giggled. And she's like, you're welcome. So that's cute. Danielle and Gabby are in the car talking about how Danielle is going to be Gabby's wing woman. And I got you, girl. And, like, Danielle is having, like, you know, her summer of fun. She's, like, meeting a ton of guys and hooking up. And so they're like, let's get you going, Gabby. Like, it's been a while. Let's get you on the scene. I'll help you set you up. I'll be your wing woman. But it kind of looks like, you know, at the end of this episode going into this week, actually, that Danielle's getting a little greedy. Like, Danielle brought a couple guys that she met at the club the night before. So she already had a couple dudes she could scam on. But instead, she goes for Balloon Joe, who Lindsay's trying to set up really with either Danielle or Gabby, but like Gabby's interested, but like Danielle swoops in and Gabby's just not like a swooper in her, and she's like, you know, she's like the bachelorette or bachelor, you know, there's the girls that swoop in, can I steal him for a minute, like four times, and then the girls that never ask. I'd be the girl that never asked. And that's how Gabby is. And so, but it looks like Gabby may be fed up. So I am very excited for this week, not only between the Gabby and Danielle, but the Paige and Danielle. I'm super excited about that. Because, you know, let's face it, I think we all got a little overexposed with Danielle and got real sick of her. That winter house was so cringy. Last year, you know, people were split, Team Danielle or Team Lindsay, but you could see Danielle, like, overreacted and stuck her nose in too far where it didn't belong. So even if you started out Team Danielle, I think by the end of last season, you kind of like switched over to Team Lindsay because you're like, dude, enough, Danielle. Like some of the things she reacted over was a bit much. Okay. You're a bit much all the time. And then she did Winter House and we were all like, oh, girl, tone it down. So she's back, and we're like, kind of sick of Danielle. And so this year, I guess, as Ariana was saying, you know, it's reality TV formula. You're going to have a villain, a redemption arc. So Danielle was, like, praised. Like, Andy Cohen was like, oh, she's the best, trying to hook her up with everyone. But now it's like the tide has turned because that is the formula of reality TV. Now it's going to be her villain year. And then, you know, next season or two seasons, she'll have her redemption arc again. So she'll be fine. It's time. She's never really had it thrown at her because last year when it was thrown at her, the bed girls all had her back. So this is going to be Danielle's villain year and I'm here for it. In this car though, with Gabby, when she's talking, Danielle is giving me like serious Kristen Doty vibes. Like just the way she talks and even the way she moves physically, like, you know, like, she's just a little giraffe popping into the room. Hello! Like, a little awkward, a little goofy, fun and cool, but a little, it's just a little Doty. I don't know. Sierra tells Wes that she signed her modeling contract, and that means she may be traveling maybe months at a time to different places and even internationally. So he's like, So I'm not sure what to do with that if we, like, just have a summer fling or are we going to have a relationship, but that's going to be hard if you're gone all the time. I believe they are still seeing each other because they were on Watch What Happens Live and it was revealed that, like, she met his family and his parents and went to Missouri. And so I think they're still seeing each other, but I don't know if she's gotten any, like, modeling jobs outside of the country. Maybe not. Okay, so Gabby and Danielle get there and they put away the groceries. And do you say groceries or groceries? I noticed Danielle said groceries, which I think I say, but I actually don't. I say groceries. What's the correct way? You know, you're asking someone that says, I'll borrow you $20. You know, Sure, I'll borrow you $20. No, I'll lend you. Oh, you know. So they said something smells funky in the refrigerator. And I was thinking, first of all, we'll get there. But they all go out that night, they have food delivered, and they're like, Kyle, hurry up. He's like, I'm coming, I'm eating some salmon. And then he like darts off and they leave salmon on the counter, chicken, sushi, all things that are gonna go bad in a couple hours if left out. And then salad too, which will get like wilty. I mean, can you just put it in the refrigerator? It was a lot of food. Like super wasteful, or you're gonna get sick. I don't know, it bothered me. I don't like waste like that. But I was thinking when they open the fridge how nice it must be to know that everything in there, obviously except for the thing that smells funky, which is probably, fish or something that was left over from last weekend, but like all the condiments, they're all valid. Like they don't have to wonder like, ooh, I wonder how old this is, or like open something and smell it because like it's everything's brand new in the summer house, right? So it's like, oh yeah, this dressing, well, it can't be more than a month old because we've only been here a month. Or even milk, like, it's probably still fine. I don't know, I was just thinking about this because I was making the broccoli crunch salad like you get at Whole Foods. I make it at home, and you're supposed to use apple cider vinegar, and I cleaned my fridge a while back. And I threw it away because I had the raw organic like with the mother in it, and it got all like chunky and weird, and it kind of freaked me out. Or it was like it wasn't even like a tinge of clear or see-through. It was just that like thick tan mucky. I'm like, I'm not gonna want to use this unless like for cleaning or something. I want to start fresh with new apple cider vinegar. So I knew I threw that out, and I'm like, shit. Well, I need some kind of vinegar. And I had red wine vinegar, but that was in the cupboard. And I don't know, once you open vinegar, are you supposed to refrigerate it? Or because it's vinegar, it's fine? Like olive oil, it's like open, it's fine. You leave it on the counter. You don't want to put it in the fridge, it'll like coagulate. But is red wine vinegar fine, like edible, or should I have refrigerated it? So I was like, do I use this? Do I not use this? And then I'm like debating in my head. And then I look through my, condiments pantry and not pantry, but like the side fridge door, and I see, oh, okay, apple cider vinaigrette. I'm like, oh, I could use this. Same concept. It's a salad dressing. But then I open it and it smelled super funky. And then I looked for the expiration. I'm a real expiration date freak. And it was like rubbed off, so that indicates it's pretty old and it smelled weird, and I don't want to risk ruining my salad. So I'm just saying, I appreciate, like, they should appreciate that everything they know in there they can use because it's only been in there like a max of 6 weeks. I don't know, that was a long story about nothing. Okay, so Danielle reveals she had sex the night before from a dating app, and they're like, oh my gosh, where? Did you go to a bar? And someone else is like, did you go to a restaurant? She's like, we went to my apartment. And the West is like, where did he come? Which I thought was funny. Specific. I would have liked to hear the answer, maybe, kinda. Lindsay said she enjoyed her freedom while Carl was at a golfing event in Ohio. I mean, preach, girl. I just answered this on a Facebook question when people are asking, and I'm like, alone time is essential for me. I need my space. I need my freedom. And then I like to do all the things that I like to do with people. But I have that, it's like as much of a requirement as like, breathing for me. And that's what Lindsay needed, a little space from Carl to appreciate him, to breathe, to be like, not have him in her face 24/7. I get that. And I'm here for that. So Danielle says she just wants to stay single right now and keep it as is, casual, because getting into relationship mode, she gets distracted. And I totally get that. You get into distraction mode when you start focusing on them. And in order to have everything happen, things have to fall away. So you have to take things away from yourself to like put, you don't have to. I'm saying this is what happens. And whether that be your alone time or your gym or your work or your hobbies or your friend time, like something always gives and falls away because you're like focused on this person. Guys don't do this as much as girls do. So I see what Danielle's saying, and it's good she recognizes she does that, because I've certainly done that in the past. And then you think about it and you're like, guys don't give up shit to do like, ooh, now I'm in this relationship. Like, they don't change a thing. So I'm all for that. You shouldn't change a thing either. You know, until you have to or are ready to. And then you do it jointly. You both give up things. Like, you know, if you're going to have kids or something, obviously something's got to give. But she recognizes that, you know, she takes too much away from herself. So she just wants to keep it simple right now. And then she tells Lindsay, and no offense, but looking at all the relationships like in this house is not exactly inspiring me to get into one. I mean, also true. Like, everyone's talking about Carla and Lindsay, but damn, Amanda and Kyle. It was nice to hear on the after show, and I could see it on Watch What Happens Live. Amanda has taken this opportunity to watch the show and see herself and evaluate and learn and grow. I mean, she said on the after show, she's like, wow. She's like, I didn't realize how hard I was on Kyle and how mean I was until I saw it on camera. And it's like, that's what I got. I'm like, I've never been a huge, like, go Kyle. Like, I like Amanda. But she just is such a nag on him. And like, he's literally saying like the sweetest thing and crying like, I love you. I want more quality time with you. And she's like rolling her eyes and telling him to shut up and that he's a liar. And then he starts crying. It's just like, damn, girl, lighten up. But I did notice that they seem quite happy and Watch What Happens Live. And now it makes sense because she said on the after show, she's been able to watch and see how she's coming across and kind of correct that behavior. So it seems like they're in a better place now, which I'm here for because I do want them to last. But it is painful watching them more so than Carl and Lindsay, because Carl and Lindsay will just like have a fight. And then it's like, Kyle and Amanda, it's like these little digs and passive aggressive marks, and like, I don't know, it's uncomfortable. So yeah, okay, they're getting ready to go out. I'm confused about Amanda's outfit because she puts on this like bustier thong situation that like snaps in the crotch. She puts it on over these green underwear, which makes sense because that snap, like wedging up your center, feel like you're being split in half. But then later it doesn't look like she has the underwear on. So did she like put it on over the underwear and then like sometime at the bar decide to take her underwear off? And then they get home and everyone changes and like she's like leaning over the counter so her pants are super low and you just see the bustier thong. You don't see the underwear anymore. So I'm like, isn't the point to get more comfortable when you get home? Like, did she take them off when she got home? But that seems less comfortable. I don't know. I'm just confused. So, they all go to the club and, yeah, okay. We talked about the food table. Wasteful. And this is the first time they're all out together in God knows how long, if possibly ever, okay? Even Amanda's getting lit. She's flashing Kyle through the glass window. She's wasted. It's a very fun, refreshing night. They never do this. Paige and Amanda are both out. Total shocker. And Sierra. There's a scene where Amanda, like, puts her foot up. And she's like, here, tie my shoe. And it's just some random guy. He looks like he's in, like, prison garb or something. It's just, or, like, a mechanic. And he's like, okay. I'm like, damn. That's fun. So this is where it gets... So Kyle kind of wants to broach the topic with Paige about what Craig told him, how he didn't think it was... How Craig basically has come to the conclusion that, sure, there's always a chance he and Paige won't work out, and if that happens, fine. He doesn't want it to happen, but he realizes there's always a chance, that chance in life. And Kyle was like, whoa, like, you know, because prior to that, Craig had just been like fawning all over Paige and pushing the marriage thing and whatnot. So he was shocked that Craig has kind of had a, you know, awakening. And so he wants to tell Paige that to kind of like gauge where she's at or maybe give her a heads up like, hey, you know, But Danielle steps in, literally Kyle's jaw dropped, like physically dropped. She's like, you know what? I'm going to keep it real with you, girl. She's like, you have Craig's balls on a mantle. And Paige looks very uncomfortable. Kyle's jaw drops. I mean, and Danielle's not entirely wrong, but I think this is where it's been important of Craig's recent changes. He's kind of taken a little of the power back, you know, be like, yeah, if it doesn't work out, that's fine. And Paige is like, wait, what? Screech breaks, huh? You know, and he's, you know, power of the takeaway, Paige. It works both ways. And I think it's just the way Danielle said it and delivered it and her judgment on top of it really rubbed Paige the wrong way. And, you know, she tells Paige, I don't think he's, you know, he's not right for you. He may be right, Mr. Right now, but he's not right for you because you want, you know, this and that and this. And she's like, no, I fully intend on marrying Craig, but I'm also not the girl to like, that's going to hold your hand and reassure you every 5 minutes that I'm your girl. And Danielle goes, well, I think that's what Craig needs. Well, first of all, how do you know what Craig needs? Like Paige said, you met him like twice. You don't hang out with him. She said if maybe Sierra or Amanda had said that to her, she might take a minute to think about it. But she's like, Danielle doesn't even know Craig. She's like, I think that's what Craig needs. And Paige is like, well, I'm not that girl. But Paige doesn't really react too much. She sits on it. And I think she's going to react and bring it up this week on this week's episode. So I'm excited for that. But this is exactly where, you know, Danielle gets a little nosy, a little Kristen Doty-ish, a little judgy, a little bit too much, which, I don't know, it's putting Paige off. And it kind of sparks the realization that they're now understanding Lindsay's side of things from last year. We see at the end of the episode, Paige and Amanda are like, yeah, we kind of are getting where Lindsay was at now with Danielle. Like, we're seeing how Danielle inserts herself into other people's relationships and is quite judgy about it. And they're not here for it. Oh, my God. So Gabby was hysterical. They get home. Somehow she manages to, like, run through the door and do, like, a giant leap in the air. And she fully lands that, like a gymnast. But then when she, like, goes to sit on the couch, she, like, flipped over, fell off, bonked her whole body on, like, the edges of the coffee table, which looked like it fucking hurt. And then again, she's on the kitchen, just on a kitchen stool, and she just completely, like, falls off like melted butter. Like, I mean, I've been there. I've been there a lot. Not in a long time, though. But there's a couple times. Like, I was in Palm Springs. This is the same weekend, though. It's probably the same night. It was the same night. I was at the bar. We were all out at the casino bar. I was standing there talking with my circle of friends. And all of a sudden, I just fell backwards onto the floor. Don't know why. Security then wanted to escort me out, but my friends are like, no, she's fine, we'll watch her, blah, 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 but I wanted to gamble. And so they kind of, like, everyone pieced out to their own little tables or machines, but the security guard wouldn't leave my side. And I'm like, can I please gamble? He's like, yes. So he just stood by me while I gambled. And then I ran out of money, and I'm like, may I please go to the ATM machine? And he's like, all right, of course, like, oh, you're going to let me spend more money, but you're not going to. Anyways, so we were on our way to get more cash. And then my friends are like, are you ready to go? I'm like, yeah, let's go. So then we're walking back. I kept falling on the walk back, but I was wearing like wedge shoes. So there's that. And then we go back to the pool. They have like a fire pit at the pool. And then they have this plexiglass wall between the pool and the hotel room patios that open up to the pool, which some of my friends had, and they were sitting in their patio, and I went over to go talk to them, And I was like, hey, bup, bup, bup. And I just crashed into the plexiglass. I bounced off of it, and that caused me to fall back into a giant cactus. Okay, that was not fun. I was like, oh, ouch. Figured out, okay, I have to go around through the door, go to my friend's patio. I am gushing blood everywhere. My arms are covered in blood. My legs are covered in blood. I go into their bathroom, and I'm picking all the prickles out. I mean, there was hundreds. And I'm using their bath towels. Of course, they're white because it's a hotel room. And, like, her boyfriend came in later and just sees, like, bloody bath towels all over the bathroom. He's like, what the fuck happened? It, like, I look like a murderer. He's like, what did you do? Like, to his girlfriend. I was since gone. But yeah, so I get, it's kind of, again, a little Kristen Doty-ish, like when she fell in solving, which really wasn't that bad. These Gabby falls are pretty bad. Also, you guys, don't get worried. That was a long time ago, and it was a big birthday celebration for my friend. It was like a milestone birthday, so, and it was Las Vegas and casino and pool, you know, come on. No need to worry. So I like Amanda staying up late and sharing, Kyle's lifestyle for once, and they have their little bonding time, and I think, you know, she can do that a few times, and that'll cause him to do it less, and then they find their little happy place. And like I said, he goes into bed, and it's like they have this great night, and she's in their bed scrolling on her phone again. Like, every time. Like, he's trying to have a sober one-on-one conversation with her, and she's scrolling on her phone. Every time she's in bed, she's scrolling on her phone. It's like, they need to bachelor this shit out of this show. And, like, no phones while filming. You know? Come on. It's a bit much. I like that they're getting up at 11 a.m. the next day, relatable, and making breakfast. I don't like, and they're all hungover, which they're not used to. I don't envy that they had to then decorate all day for, and then party again that night. Like, say what you will about my stories, I can never and have never ever been able to do two nights in a row. It's impossible. It doesn't work. I'll get sick, or it just won't work. I physically usually can't even drink anything. The times I've tried, it doesn't work. So I just give up. I'm like, yeah, it's just not gonna work. So how these guys do two nights in a row every weekend is beyond me, like, mad props, but I can't do it. Also don't want to be, like, decorating in the hot sun when I'm hungover. Ugh, also a no-go. So, but they do it, and yeah, balloon guy comes. He doesn't really look like someone that, like, would be with Danielle or Gabby. He's hot. You know, though, I agree with Sarah. They're like, ooh, look at balloon guy working in the hot sun, and he's so muscly and masculine, and he does look hot. And then when he comes to the party, then he's just like Mr. Local Long Island. He's like, yeah, give me a brewski. Like, I'm not saying that's how Long Island people talk or are, but he just became very more like hometown dude, you know, just came back from the monster truck rally. And it's like, oh, what happened to, like, the Magic Mike version of you? Yeah, the image is cut. Like, the tool belt is off. The tool belt needs to go back on. He wasn't as impressive off the clock. I'm going to agree with you, Sierra. So they're talking about at what point should Sierra sleep with West. He's like, well, it's been 6 weekends, but, like, 2 dates. He's a little nervous because, like, he's younger than she usually dates, and he also doesn't have a job. So he kind of gets it. But Sierra just, like, you know, I don't know, wants to do her thing. So I think it's great. Oh, back to balloon guy. So, like, it's Lindsay trying to hook up Danielle or Gabby. But like I said, I don't really see balloon guy with either Danielle or Gabby, but I do see him kind of being a match for Lindsay. Like, they just look like they would go together. And it started making me think, this reminds me of Sheena trying to hook up Adam with Brittany, when really it's Sheena that wants Adam. So maybe Lindsay really wants Balloon Guy, but she knows she can't have him. So maybe Lindsay should look up Balloon Guy right now and, like, you know, oh, I wonder if she's coming back to Summer House. If she is, I think she should hook up with Balloon Guy, Joe. I wonder if Carl is having second thoughts of leaving Loverboy since he can't figure out what to do with his life, and now he's like, shit, did I shoot myself in the foot? You know, I should maybe go back and do this non-alcoholic lover boy. It seems like an easy fit, but he's worried about Lindsay. I think Lindsay would be fine with that. She just wants him to do fucking something. She thought he'd have, or like, I think he thought he'd have, you know, when you think you're so irreplaceable, it's like, take your finger out of a glass of water and see what's missing. You know, Carl thought he was so irreplaceable and valuable at Loverboy that they would just go under without him. And then he left and realized, and that the opportunities weren't just pouring in. And he has the nerve to say later, like, to Lindsay, well, he says it in his confessional or after show, he's like, well, what are you doing? And it's like, he's like, I know you're an influencer. It's like, well, she's bringing in money. So if she's paying her bills, bringing in money, and happy about it, she's good. You're not doing those things. You don't seem happy. You're not paying in bills. You're not bringing in money. You're spending money on things that aren't making you money. Spending $20,000 on a life coach, and in 6 months, you still don't have a job. Not on a life coach, on a career coach, even more, a business career coach, even more specific, still don't have a job in 6 months. Still don't, you know, and then he's like, well, my career coach that cost me $20,000, he inspired me because he's a motivational speaker, and but also, you know, he has like a bestseller book and a podcast. He's like, but he talks about sobriety and mental health. Well, I love sobriety and mental health. I want to do that. Okay, I'm going to be a motivational speaker. It's like, we kind of have to do something to become that. Like, I feel like I don't want to be like all Ariana, like, you can't just do sketch comedy. But, you know, this guy wrote a book. He's got a podcast. Maybe he studied it. Like, you, Carl, you can't just, like, blink and be like, guess what, guys? I'm a motivational speaker. And I'm like, why do I want to go see you? Like, nothing about your life is motivating to me. I mean, anyone that wants, maybe sober or something, sure. But, like, you don't have a job. You're fighting all the time in a relationship. I don't know. Like, I see where Lindsay is frustrated. And it's not because she wants a man with money to take care of her. She's willing to do that herself. But she wants that matched. And especially, I think they make a good point. She's like, especially men in New York City, they equate their success with their job and money. And when you have, you know, happiness, or you feel successful, you are confident, and that gives you happiness. And, you know, he's just like, maybe he'll want to fuck me then. And then that will make me happy, and we'll both be happy then. You know, there's something to it. He just seems like a little bit of a Peter Pan with some entitlement in there. Like, I should only have to do what I'm passionate about. It's like, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't the world be wonderful if we all could just do what we're passionate about? But there's a pesky little other side to life called, like, bills and shit like that you have to do. And if what you're passionate about isn't currently making that happen for you, well, then you have to do that on the side and build that up on the side until it can take over as your primary source of income, okay? You can't just, like, close your eyes and be like, you know what? I'm quitting my job today, and tomorrow I'm going to be a huge singer. It's like, well, no, I should, like, keep my job and then at night go audition or go sing in a lounge and then go sing at a festival and then go sing on a stage. You know what I mean? Like, build this shit up while you have income. I don't know. Whatever. So, and I like his sober bar art idea, and I think it has merit, especially if they put, like, games in there and stuff. I'm a big game girl. But that takes millions of dollars to open. Like, let's look at Schwartz and Sandy's. They both put in over $500,000 each, plus Greg's investment money. And look, they're still struggling. They're, you know, a big game place and in New York City, Carl doesn't have 500K. He doesn't have a million. And I don't know that he has the connections to investors and VC money that, like, Kyle did when he started Loverboy. Or, you know, the Toms partnered with Greg, who was a restaurateur around Los Angeles. I don't think that Carl has those connections. Like Lindsay said, oh, then he wanted to work. His life coach told him to work in the movies because that's what he studied in college. And she's like, great. We know all these TV production people. Let's see. Which area do you want to work in? Let's find someone that we know and get you going. And, no, he doesn't want to do that. So I see where her frustration is. And I just feel like he's a little Peter Panny. All right. So they're setting up for the space party. I have to tell you, that blow up UFO bouncy house with the tunnels and the canals in there where they're like doing laser tag, that gave me so much anxiety. I'm like, it's too tight and puffy. Like, I feel like any of them, they could suffocate. And then I'm like, is someone checking the house in there, like the bouncy house, to make sure like someone hasn't passed out? Like, or at night, someone isn't sleeping in there. Like, it just seems like it's a problem. But I do have a little trauma. I was camping one time and my friend thought it was funny to like shake my tent, right? But in the course of doing that, because she was drunk, she knocked the tent completely over while I was in it. So the tent is flat on me. And as I'm breathing, the tent is getting sucked into my mouth and nose, which is obviously causing suffocation. I am screaming, and she's fallen onto the ground, but on top of the tent. So I cannot get out of the tent because it's being weighted down by her body, and she's laughing hysterically while I am suffocating to death. And I'm screaming, help, 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 help. And then another one of our friends comes over, and they're like, get off her, she can't breathe. And my friend's so out of it, she's like, she's fine, yes, she can. I couldn't. I'm still traumatized from that moment. So I think this bouncy house situation, and it's not just a bouncy house, it's this one. Because of, like, it's just tight quarters and all the different like tunnels and canals. It just makes me feel trapped in like tent-like material. And I don't know. I don't like it. I would not go in it. It's giving me anxiety. So, yeah. So they're setting up all those things, all those like cardboard cutout things and instructions, like not fun. I am at this point, I would become a bad girl as we see Paige and Sierra and Amanda go run and hide in the bed. And they did it successfully because those girls are so thin, they can actually pull off being part of the bed, throwing the, throw pillows over their face. You can't even see a dent because, you know, that's who they are. West comes in and scares them in his alien outfit. Did you guys see like his butt through the, you could see like his butthole through the alien costume. It was a little alarming, but it was a great prank. He scared the shit out of them. So they get in their outfits. I like Paige's outfit because I am a sucker for that like broken mirror look. I just love it. It's like one of my favorite Christmas ornaments. It's like a broken mirror ornament. My God, you know, I'm not a big Carl fan, but I've never thought he was like, he just didn't do it for me physically. I know I'm in the minority. I just have never really found him that attractive for me. But my God, I have a full 360. He looks sexy as fuck with that silver gray hair. I am dying. I'm like, wow, he needs to do that now. Odd, but like I'm 1,000% in with that look. Kind of Andy Cohen-ish. I did put up a poll, who's the sexier Silver Fox Zaddy? Actually, let's see who won that. Let me check it right now before it expires. Okay, let's see. My Dateline. Katie is Kating. Who's your... Okay, Andy is winning this poll by 83% to 17%. Okay. I don't think I agree with that, but I don't know. I'm just sick of Andy. He's a bit of a tyrant. Anyways, Sierra, once again, really commits to her costume like she did last year with the Avatar. So props to her. She combined, like, detailed costuming while still, you know, wearing her sexy outfit. Paige puts in those crazy blue eye contacts, which normally, like, people look really cool. You're like, oh, cool. She looks scary. I like that. Paige, your current eyes are good. Stick with those. Monopoly. Okay, Danielle is monopolizing Balloon Guy's attention, and the other girls are like, go swoop in, Gabby. Yeah, I think Danielle's being a bit much. It's nice to see the bad girls include Lindsay in their little clique, and yeah, they got Gabby all like jazzed up to like, okay, go flirt with him. And she does. And Balloon Guy seems interested in Gabby, so I can't wait to see what happens with that. Amanda, okay, tell Amanda, Danielle, kind of, okay, this is where Paige tells Amanda that Danielle kind of came for her last night, and she's like, I don't know, I have a job and a boyfriend, you have no job, no boyfriend, so why should I be like you? Why should I take your advice? And this is where they say they kind of see Lindsay's side now from last year. Lindsay and Carl's conversation was very cringy. She's telling her, like, what turns her on is a man crushing life. And he's like, you don't think I'm crushing life? You know, that's very demasculating to a man. But at the same time, Lindsay's not wrong. She's like, maybe just match my energy. I don't know. But you can see, you know, when Lindsay said she walks on eggshells around Carl, she was telling Kyle this, and she feels like as long as I'm happy and flirty and fun and don't show any emotion whatsoever, he's good. But she feels like she's walking on eggshells and she has to be the Stepford wife. You can see it actually in her eyes at this moment. She looks so fearful, like, in her head, she's probably thinking, oh gosh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. He's going to spiral now. Or, oh God, how is he going to react? Like, you could see it in her eyes. She looks scared, fearful, and like on edge, like very nervous, like, shit, what's he going to do? What's he going to say? So I kind of believe her. You know, it's harsh, but like, she's not wrong. So we had, okay, it was kind of impressive, the Chris guy from last year, he jumped over the limbo stick, and it was a pretty high jump. And Amanda went under because she is flat as a pancake, and she got very low. She was, like, literally horizontal. I'm like, she's like Flat Stanley. Amanda is Flat Stanley with boobs. Carl should feel like, okay, yeah. I mean, in Carl's defense, he should feel like his fiance supports him and believes in him. But if you watch What Happens Live, it had Sierra and Tyler Cameron. And Tyler Cameron took Lindsay's side. He's like, no, I think it's pretty appropriate for her to want him to have a job at his age. I mean, you guys, he's like pushing 40. Kind of reasonable to, you know, that he has a job. I don't know. Paige, yeah, next week, Paige confronts Danielle. Who do you think you are? And Carl's parents tell him that they don't think he's ready for this. I assume this meaning marriage. And then we have the after show. Okay, most of the after show stuff I already kind of talked about incorporated into what we already went over. There was, okay, the Danielle stuff. You know, Paige says she doesn't even know Craig, that sort of thing. I think low-key Danielle is jealous because Craig is, like, all over Paige, and he's, like, he wants more commitment. He wants to live together. He wants marriage, and that's what Danielle wants, and, like, she didn't have that with Robert, and Robert wasn't, like, begging her for more commitment or to live together or to get married. So I think she sees a girl that has that, and she's wasting it and not valuing it the way Danielle values it. So I think that's kind of like, You don't deserve him. He wants all this commitment. You should be so happy. And like the fact that Paige is like, nah, I don't want it. I'm not ready. It drives her nuts. So, yeah. Lindsay went on too about some of other, like Carl, he's like, he wants to be in the movies and he drops that idea. Then he wants to do a podcast. So she bought podcast equipment. But then he's like, no, she wanted me to do a podcast with her, like a couple's one. It's like, well, you could have done that and also done your sobriety mental health podcast on your own. You don't need separate equipment. If you have the equipment, do two podcasts. Like, he's just like, no. I don't know. It's like Peter Pan versus Debbie Downer. I don't know. Like, they both have their pluses and minuses, I guess. So that's kind of it. I talked a little bit on last week's summer recap about their after show looks. A little interesting. Like, Amanda looks like she's wearing her grandpa's blazer that's like 100 times too big for her. And it's like gray blazer from like 1890. Danielle is wearing the weirdest color leather pantsuit. It's like a blazer and pants. The pants are kind of cool. They're like wide at the bottom with a slit. Like, I'm okay with the outfit. The collar is just awful. It's like, it's not tan, it's not olive, it's not beige, it's not, I don't know what it's supposed to be. It's like muck. That's all I can think of. It's like muck. Like camel, but it's not camel. It's like every off color of every color. It's like Old Navy. It's just off. You know, here's pink and then here's like, ooh, this off weird pink that maybe had like a little purple spilled into it, but it didn't make it pink or violet or purple. It just made it like a muted dull, like dullened version of pink. But that's her. It's like, it's weird because it's just like this off-brand color that, it's not like that color like makes anyone look good. Like, you can have a tan that makes someone look good, or a brown. Like, Lindsay looks fantastic in the brown, like, satiny dress she's wearing. She looks so pretty and it really brings out her eyes. But this, it's like Dijon mustard threw up is what the color is of Danielle's pantsuit. And I don't understand it. You know? It's alarming. And then Paige has this weird side boob, like alien dress. It just doesn't work for me. It's like, again, it's like army olive green. Like, it almost looks like tweed or wool fabric. And then it's like a triangle, but with the triangle part being like at her belly button. So her side boobs, and I know side boob is the thing, but it's like, this is a weird kind of side boob. It's like very alienish for me. I can't get past it. I don't like it. Gabby, she looks fine. She's doing like, you know, you roll up your jeans like a 1950s greaser, like the Outsiders. But she rolled up the cuff all the way up to her knee. So maybe that's the thing right now. Obviously, I am not aware of it. It's probably a thing. She looks fine, though. It's just like, okay. You roll, like, obviously it must be a thing because someone is making jeans extra long to be able to cuff them all the way up to your knee, right? I don't know. Just interesting. I thought I'd note it, but that's it. You guys, I'm excited for this week coming on Thursday. I will try to actually get this out on, I'm going to try and get Summer House's review out on Thursday or Friday morning because I have plans this weekend and I don't like to let it linger. Do you have to? Do you have to let it linger? I wanted to do this earlier, but then Holly and I put out a podcast and I didn't want to dilute that one and have it get buried by posting new ones. And I also have that, the latest, I forgot who the latest interview was. I'm going to post that, but I'll probably wait till tomorrow so I'm not oversaturating you guys. Let me tell you who the Sutton and Garcelle on, you know, if you're in Patreon. Well, I'll talk about that. There we go. So go over to Patreon. You'll hear this week's Summer House. You'll see the Ariana videos that are being posted as we speak, and all the stuff on Jax and Lori Kay, the publicist, and all the good stuff over there. Thanks, you guys, for joining me, and have a good week. Bye.